You are listening to a special edition of Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Randall White. The path to marriage equality started with small steps here in Sacramento. There were individuals advocating for change, like George Raya, and there were also the lawmakers who cast their votes to enact it. In 2015, Capitol Bureau Chief Ben Adler spoke with three former and current California lawmakers about the LGBTQ rights bills that did and did not pass. Former Senator Mark Leno from San Francisco and current Assemblymember Susan Talamantes-Eggman from Stockton reflected on the history and accomplishments of the LGBT caucus in California. And later, former Senator Roy Ashburn talks about coming out during his final term in office. First, here's Mark Leno sharing his personal story.
I came out at age 18. It was 1969, right at the time of the Stonewall riots. So it just happens that my adult life has been in coincidence with what's now known as the modern LGBT civil rights movement. When I came out, it was to announce to the world that I was a mentally ill outlaw because, of course, the American Psychiatric Association had not yet dropped from its list of mental illnesses. That was around 1973, homosexuality. And even here in California, it was still a felony for adults of the same gender to have consensual relations until around 1976. And so off I went. And I moved to San Francisco in 1977, which is the very year that Harvey Milk was elected to the County Board of Supervisors. We came very close to meeting, but sort of passing the night, never did. I started my small business in San Francisco the year he was assassinated and engaged in community affairs and volunteered my time as my business grew and I could get myself out of the office, but did not get into elected office until an appointment by then Mayor Willie Brown. I had met him on his 1995 campaign trail. I had some name recognition at the time for my involvement with the LGBT and HIV/AIDS community, small business community and such. And so that was the beginning of my efforts in public policy.
Your partner passed away from complications of HIV/AIDS.
I was very lucky to meet a beautiful young man, and well, we were all young men, 1980, named Doug Jackson, and we had 10 years together. He died in 1990.
Assemblymember Eggman, if I could, I'd like to start with a piece of tape from a couple of years ago, the previous Supreme Court ruling that struck down California's Proposition 8. And on that day, you told a story of a family member who was nearing death, and they had a five-year-old. And let's start by listening to that tape.
My partner's family is very Republican, very conservative, and very Pentecostal. And when we talked about who would raise this child, they looked to nobody but us as the people who were the most stable, who were the most able to provide a loving home, and that we would do that. And we, of course, will.
And you did.
And we did. We now have a 7-year-old.
Tell us your story.
I, like Mr. Leno, came out at a young age. I entered my first relationship probably when I was 17. And when I was 18, I joined the military. So I spent 4 years, in an environment where it wasn't okay to be gay, but certainly there was a strong acknowledgement that there were a lot of gays and lesbians in the military. I spent 4 years in the military, and that's where I met my partner for a long time, then domestic partner, and now wife. We were both active duty Army. We got out, lived our lives, engaged in life, and hopefully helped change part of the conversation that we have always been out. At that time, we lived in Turlock to be out at work, out with our family. That was in the 80s and 90s. I spent a lot of time, I'm a licensed clinical social worker and eventually obtained my PhD in social work and social research and spent 10 years as a faculty member at Sacramento State. Before that, I also was a hospice social worker for a long time. So I worked in and around both personally, academically, research-wise, and teaching with end-of-life issues. So certainly cared for a lot of people during the 80s and 90s during the AIDS crisis. So I consider myself an intentional public servant and an accidental politician. I ran for Stockton City Council in 2006, and at that time was the first person to run and be elected as an out person in the Central Valley. Mr. Leno comes from a strong tradition in San Francisco of people being out, but in the Valley, it's a little bit different. but we're both here at the same place now.
We're talking with Democratic State Senator Mark Leno of San Francisco and Democratic Assembly Member Susan Eggman of Stockton. So, Senator Leno, take us back to your early years in the legislature. Talk about some of the early days and the challenges and accomplishments.
We should note it was Sheila Kuehl, who's now a county supervisor in Los Angeles, who was the very first and only member of our community to serve in the legislature. She was elected in 1994. Old joke she likes to tell is that when she went out to dinner and make a reservation, it was a Kuehl party of one. But she was joined by Assemblywoman Migdon in 1995-96, who succeeded Willie Brown, who became mayor of San Francisco at that time. And then additionally, in 2000, Chris Kehoe and Jackie Goldberg were elected. And so there were four women serving openly as lesbians in the legislature before John Laird and I joined them. Since I was succeeding Carol Migdon, she was elected to the Board of Equalization at that time, there were the five of us who then formed the first LGBT legislative caucus in the nation in 2002, the three women and John Laird and I. And it made a big difference because up until then there had been a few pieces of legislation initially carried by Sheila Kuehl. There were, of course, some allies who carried legislation. Prior to that, it was Assemblyman Art Agnos who, in 1979, introduced a bill that would include sexual orientation in our Fair Employment and Housing Act to make it illegal to discriminate based on sexual orientation in housing and employment and public accommodation. Took the state 20 years until 1999 for that to be signed into law by Gray Davis. But once we as a caucus began to focus on legislation, we made astounding gains. In fact, California was really at the back of the pack of states in legal protections for the LGBT community. But within a decade, we soared to the top and we passed over 100 pieces of legislation in that decade. We are now the best state in terms of legal protections for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender rights of any state in the country.
Let me ask you about the push legislatively to get a bill signed into law legalizing same-sex marriage. Twice it reached the desk of Governor Schwarzenegger. Both times he issued vetoes.
I remember that when we first put our bill on his desk in 2005, and he vetoed it. The New York Times editorialized saying that he was hiding behind the fig leaf of Prop 22. He, of course, could have signed it should he have actually understood what equality was about.
Assemblymember Eggman, fast forwarding to today, talk about what that leaves the LGBT caucus, or more importantly, the California legislature to do next.
I mean, I think it is our responsibility, but I think it goes deeper than that. Certainly, there is still legislation that needs to be passed for different sorts of equal rights, especially as it relates to transgender folks. And we still have, you know, terrible issues of disparity and poverty and in jobs and homelessness. But I think changing laws and acknowledging that people have rights doesn't always quickly translate into the general public acknowledging that. I mean, it's, you know, civil rights have passed some 50 years ago, and we still see, we're just taking the Confederate flag down. We can pass laws, but it still takes a while for that to filter down, for people to understand and come to a different acceptance of you might not agree with every law or every right, but it doesn't really give you the right to spew hate speech, if you will, and the idea that words matter. This year, I think it was the most when we did the LGBT Pride resolution, 12 Republicans signed on. That's historic. Previously, they would have got up and walked out. So I, you know, personally hand wrote a thank you card to every one of them to say, thank you for your courage and bravery. I know it's not easy. So we still have a lot of work to be done, some of it legislatively, but some of it just being out in the community. And, you know, as Mr. Leno said before, he's been out since he was 19. A lot of us have been out for a while and really just trying to make being ourselves so that people can know that it's nothing to be afraid of. And so far, the world has not collapsed.
Just in your time, Assemblymember Eggman, the last few years, I think you're 3 years into your time here, name a big or a small way that you have seen the legislature evolved.
When I came into the legislature, we had our first gay speaker, and we now have our first lesbian speaker. So, you know, a body is willing to say this is our leader. And again, I think the movement of folks in the Republican Party seeing, oh, this probably is not the best thing in the world, again, to stand up and espouse a lot of hatred when the issue comes up, I think is significant. And just even in the building, I mean, we now have some, you know, transgender staff people, and there's been, you know, a little pushback here and there, and, you know, there's have to be some intervention. But things just continue to evolve and move forward, which I think is the most positive.
That was former Senator Mark Leno of San Francisco and current Assemblymember Susan Talamantes-Eggman of Stockton. The two Democrats spoke with Ben Adler about their work in the LGBT caucus at the California legislature. Now we'll hear from a former Republican lawmaker, Roy Ashburn, represented Bakersfield in the Assembly and Senate for 14 years. He came out as gay just months before terming out of office. Roy Ashburn now lives in Los Angeles, where he votes no party preference. Here's his story.
Well, I've always been gay, but because at an early age I concluded that I could not be in public life, in politics, and be openly gay, I hid that fact. And was married, have children, and lived a life as a straight man from a conservative part of California. And then 5 years ago, I was arrested for drunk driving in Sacramento after having left a gay club. Obviously, a state senator being arrested for drunk driving is pretty big news. What I didn't realize at the time was that, you know, people had seen me at the gay club in Sacramento, and so the gay rumors were running very high. And so a little more than 5 years ago, I came out publicly and announced that I was gay. I continued in the California legislature till the end of my term. And after coming out, I did a reversal on gay rights issues and have voted to support gay rights, including extending marriage rights.
As you look back now, and I know at the time you said that you were representing your district, would you have voted differently?
Yes, I definitely would have voted differently. Although the portion of California that I represented both in the state assembly and the state senate is among the most conservative areas in the United States. If I were to do it over, I would vote to grant gay rights because it's incongruous with my belief in individual liberty, personal responsibility, the maximum freedom afforded under the Constitution, that all individuals should be granted full rights.
Talk about how your former party, the Republican Party, has evolved, or whether it has evolved, on gay rights, both from your time in the legislature to the present?
Well, I think there's been a big evolution in the Republican Party. There's been a big change in public attitude about acceptance of gay individuals, but also about the issue of marriage. The Republican Party is reflective of society in general, maybe moving at a slower pace, but inevitably toward a greater acceptance that people are born the way they're born, that we are all equal under the law, and that equal rights ought to be afforded to all people.
Do you believe there will ever be an openly gay Republican elected to the California legislature?
Yes, I do.
When? How soon?
Well, I don't know the answer to that, because it will depend entirely on the individual candidate, and it will depend on the district of California where that candidate actually seeks election. But in this last election, there was an openly gay candidate, Republican, for Congress, and in a race in San Diego that was virtually a photo finish.
You're referring to Carl DeMaio, right?
Yes. So I think it will be a relatively short period of time before an openly gay Republican is elected.
What is holding it back at this point?
Fear. Fear is the great character defect that affects so many people. And politics, in many ways, is a an activity that is, you know, both proactive and reactive. I'm not saying that that's a good state of affairs, but as your prior question just indicated, it's probably not very far down the road before an openly gay person is elected who happens to be a Republican.
Talk about the life that you're living now that you are 5 years removed from the legislature.
Well, life is definitely better. Although I would be telling an untruth if I said that I did not miss politics and service in the legislature. I was born into a desire to serve in public office, and I am very privileged to have held public office for over 26 years, and so I miss it. But on a personal level, life is much better. And so it's been a big transformation for me, a big change. There's a calm and a peacefulness and a serenity that comes in being truthful with yourself.
That was Cap Radio's Ben Adler speaking with three LGBTQ lawmakers, former Senator Roy Ashburn of Bakersfield, and before that, former Senator Mark Leno of San Francisco and Assemblymember Susan Talamantes-Eggman of Stockton. Those conversations were recorded back in 2015, just a few weeks after the U.S. Supreme Court granted marriage equality to all LGBTQ Americans. Since the first time we aired that interview, Tony Atkins of San Diego became the first member of the LGBT caucus to lead both chambers as the Assembly Speaker and the Senate President Pro Tem. And former Senator Ricardo Lara of Los Angeles became the first openly gay lawmaker to hold statewide office as insurance commissioner. Coming up, two McGeorge law professors talk about Justice Anthony Kennedy. You're listening to a special edition of Insight on your NPR station, Capital Public Radio.